a passage that told us about two destinations, told us about two gates, told us about two ways, and told us about two crowds. And there we drew out the importance of making a choice, making a decision. And there also I gave us three points about how to make a decision, the advice that the Lord Jesus gives to us about making a decision. The Lord told us very clearly, without a doubt, that number one, we need to make a decision. We cannot go through life without making a decision. Not to make a decision is in fact to make a decision, is to make the wrong decision. And so he says, make a decision. And he told us how to go about it. He says, you make a decision by determining the destination that you want to go to. In other words, you don't make a decision by any other, by thinking about any other thing, but you just begin with the thought in your mind, where do I want to end up? That is the question you must ask yourself. And you must come to a decision on that. Do you want to be in the kingdom of heaven? Or do you want to be in hell, eternal suffering? I don't need to tell you what is on your mind. Every one of us here will tell me, I want to go to heaven. But the Lord tells us also that if you decide to go to heaven, then there is the narrow gate. There is the hard way. It is a difficult thing to do. And He tells us to weigh the consequences. And He tells us to weigh carefully and think ahead. Prepare your mind mentally to face those difficulties when it comes. Prepare your mind even now to know that there will be difficulties if you want to follow the Lord and end up in heaven. That there will be difficulties. And so He says, in life, you will have to make your choices. And you cannot make your choice based on what is easy. But you can only choose what will lead you there. Even though that decision may cause you great difficulty and great hardship. So you make your decision. And you don't make your decision because the thing will be easy, but you make your decision because that way, even though it's hard, will lead you to that destination. Thirdly, He told us that when you make your decision, do not follow the crowd. You make your decision on your own. You determine on your own. You have set your mind, you have set your sights, you have seen the end of it, and you say to yourself, I want to be there, and everything I do will lead me there. I will not be swerved to the left or to the right. I will not look to this and I will not look to that. It does not matter if my friends want to go that way or if my friends want to call me to go this way. But I set my sight on that end and I want to be there. Don't listen to the crowd, because great will be that crowd that will walk into hell. And if you follow the crowd, you will end up like that. And so those were the ways of making a decision that He told us. And I believe that it is important. It is most important. It is not something that you can ignore. Because these choices that we make have great consequences. The consequences are not temporary. For example, if I make a choice now to see a particular movie in this place, and the movie doesn't turn out to be so nice, not a big deal. I have wasted maybe 3 hours of my time and $15 or 15 ringgit. And I can recoup that somewhere else. The consequences are short term. But in this decision about life, in this decision about the destination you choose, the consequences are eternal. And that's why the Lord Jesus tells us to think carefully. To think carefully. Don't ignore this. Don't just let it pass you by. Don't let this camp pass you by and then after that get on with your life. To make money, to get good grades, to build a career for yourself. No. Those things have an end to it. They end in this world. They don't go any further. But this decision that you make today, and if some of you have made your decision yesterday night, though that decision affects your eternal life. Your eternal life. And you will just spend time thinking about it. you will know how serious those consequences are. There are many things that we can do without in this life. Many of us come from different backgrounds. We come from different economic backgrounds. Some are richer, some are poorer. Some come from families that are not so good, maybe even broken families. Some of us have wonderful families where we come from. Some of us have wonderful church support. Others don't. We come from many different places, different backgrounds, but we all have one thing in common, that we, all of us, will one day arrive at one destination out of the two. It is either the kingdom of heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ, or hell and eternal suffering. And that's why you cannot ignore this. You cannot let it pass you by. You cannot just simply say, it's just 1 hour here and after that I get on with life. No, you cannot do that. And I ask of you to really consider. I ask you really to think through. Today we come to the last three parts in this four sections that are given here. The Lord Jesus tells us, you have made your choice. You have taken the narrow gate. You are now on the highway. But he tells us it doesn't end there. On the way as you go along, he says, there will be voices calling out to you. There will be people telling you to do certain things. There will be people telling you, do this. And the people telling you to do that. And he says to us that there are two kinds of voices. There is the voice of the false prophet, and there is the voice of the true prophet. Again, he tells us there are only two voices. One is the false prophet and one is the true prophet. And he tells us here how to discern which prophet to listen to. He says, look at the fruit of that prophet. Look at the fruits of the person that is saying it. And he tells us to gauge properly before you follow his words. Now I say this, and I think you will understand if I say this, you will be able to follow me. Just now at the field on the beach there, we were playing a game. And as any one of us who is holding a ball at that time, you will hear many voices calling out to you. You are holding a ball, you want to pass it to somebody else. But you hear this voice and that voice, that is calling you and this is calling you. And everyone is telling you to pass the ball to him. What do you do? Do you just take the ball and pass it to that person? No, you don't. You look at that voice and you see who is that person who is calling out to you. And you think, he is not on my team. And so you don't pass the ball to him. That person, so to speak, is a false prophet. Okay? And that's how you do things in life. It may seem funny now, but that is what happens in life. You get many voices calling out to you. Friends may be telling you, and every one of them will claim to be your friend. Every one of them will claim to be doing good for you. Every one of them will tell you, the decision I'm telling you to make, I'm telling you to do this, is going to be good for you. Everyone is trying to sell something to you. None of them will come to you with big to you, words down here, to you, I am the false prophet, don't listen to me. No salesman come to tell you, please don't buy this product from me, because it is not good. Everyone who comes to you and tell you something will tell you it is good. And so that is why you have to weigh, you have to decide, you have to think. You cannot just simply blindly follow. And so the Lord Jesus tells us, there will be these two voices, and you will have to make that decision. Again, it comes down to you, it comes down to you, Lily. It comes down to you having made that decision, and you have to think about it. Then again, he tells us further down as you go on in life, he says, be careful about yourself. You become a Christian, you have taken the narrow way, you have chosen the hard path, and as you go along, you you follow the motions of Christianity. You come to church, you read your Bible, you do everything that the church tells you to do, and you are a good Christian, a committed Christian, so to speak, and everyone watching you will look at you, that's a wonderful Christian. And maybe perhaps some parent will tell his child, you know that particular brother, you know that particular sister? Look at them, how wonderful they are. You should be like them, you should follow them in the footsteps. And if you happen to hear from a third party that was said, you may pat yourself on the back, hey, I'm good, I'm all right. Jesus warns us here. He tells us here that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You see, it is not what people tell you. It is not even what you do, let me say this. It is not even what you believe in. I will even say that. I will even go that far to say. Because many of us think believing is just a matter of doctrine, matter of what's in the head. Many of you may even say that, oh, I am Reformed. I come from the Reformed Baptist Church. And I think many of us are very proud of that. I am proud of that. But it does not end there. It is not a question of believing in the doctrines and having them in your head, or having them in a thick Bible and put in between the pages. No. The Lord Jesus says, no, that is not the way. It is good to have made the decision. It is good to have the right doctrine. It is good to have decided that is what you want to do. It is good to be able to discern. But he says one more thing is necessary. And he says as you go on in life, you have to commit yourself. You have to do what you believe. You have to do it. And even as I was thinking about what I said yesterday about making those decisions, about saying, you make your decision according to your destination, whether you listen to people or whether you follow the crowd. That decision, let me tell you, is not a decision that you make one time only. It is not something that you say to yourself, today, because of what I have heard and because of what I have thought through and read through, this is what I want to do. Let me tell you, that decision you have to make every day of your life. You've got to wake up in the morning and say, I want to end up with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. I, today, make that decision to follow the hard way. I make that decision to do what I know to be right. I do it because the Lord Jesus tells me to. That is what you need to do. Because many of us can become superficial Christians, and especially so when life is easy. And we live in a country that is relatively easy. There are not many difficulties that we face. We are all pretty well off. And I used to tell people, and I hope I'm not being irreverent here, but the Lord Jesus tells us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. As I think about it, I think many of us may not need to even pray that. I'm not being irreverent here, because I think that Lord's Prayer there means much more than that. But I'm sure many of us have enough stored away that it will last us for months and even years. So it's not a question of daily bread on the table. It doesn't worry us anymore. And so that is why life, when it is easy, can make your Christianity superficial. And when it does that, it doesn't do it to you in one go. It creeps on you slowly. It creeps on you slowly. With all the temptations, with all the voices calling out to you, with all the attractions in the world, with all the constraints of time for study, time for friends, time for family, time for this and time for that, your Christianity can slowly become diluted, and then it becomes nothing. And that is what the Lord Jesus warns us here. And so these are decisions you make. These are decisions that you think through every day of your life. And these are decisions that you will face with every day of your life. And you have to decide. So far this, yesterday and today, we have been talking about decisions. And decisions are important. Do not forget that. In fact, I would even dare to say that what you are now at this moment, what kind of person you are, is the result of the decisions that you have made in the past. If you say that you are a good student now, if you have done very well in your studies, it is not by accident that you became a good student. It's because somewhere in the past you have said to yourself, I want to have 7 A's, I want to be the best. And that's why you're where you are. You have made a decision somewhere in the past. And you are, what you are now, is the result of those decisions. And so that's why decisions are important. That's why Christianity is something that you think. It requires a mind that will still itself, block out everything else, all the voices and everything else, and then think, and then evaluate, and then really consider, and then you come to that decision. And that will make you, or that will break you. Because when you make a wrong decision, it will break you somewhere along the line. So decisions are important, and decisions are something that you cannot avoid. It is something that you simply have to do. And so now we come to the last part. The Lord Jesus here says, in verse 24, He says, after having said all this, He has given us wonderful words of advice. He told us, this is the way to follow, this is the way to go. He says, these are the things that I give to you. You will not hear it from anyone else, but it's from me, and I give it to you. Freely, graciously, I give you this. Then He tells us to make a decision. And after having made a decision, now He finally comes to the last part. And He says, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. On the other hand, there was another man who also did the same thing. He also built a house. He also faced the same difficulties along the way. The rains came, the water came, the wind came, it beat on that house. And the Lord Jesus says, it fell. That's not all. He doesn't finish there. The Lord Jesus emphasizes, and great was its fall. I think the Lord Jesus repeats those words. He gives extra emphasis to it because He tells us He wants to bring the message across that it is important. That it is important. How you build your house, how you build your life, it is important. Like I've said earlier on, it has eternal consequences. You see, many things can change. But if you make a wrong decision here with regard to this, you cannot unmake it. You cannot hope to go back and then go through that again and do the right thing. No. Once you have made your decision, you have come to the end, the rain has come, the flood has come, the house is down, that's it. There is no more second chance. There is no more second chance. That's it. That's the end of it. And if you have made the wrong decision, built with the wrong foundation, think how terrible it is to have done something and then not be able to make amends for it, to repair it. You know, I'm sure many of you have done things in your life that you regret. Am I not right? I myself have regrets in my life. And I'm sure any of you who have lived long enough, you have regrets. Even a little children will have regrets. They make a wrong decision, follow their friends. Didn't tell their mom when they went out. The parents come back and find the child not in. Then they return sheepishly down there, trying to hide from them. And then they know that great Cain is coming down. And they regret. Why didn't I tell my parents? Why didn't I just let them know? But it's too late. Now those things are regrets. It tells us about wrong decisions we have made. Those things, the consequences are short term. Maybe it's just a scar that we will have at the end of the day. And that after that it's over. But with regard to this, I cannot stress it enough to you how important it is and how crucial that you make the right decision and how serious the consequences will be for us. So that's why we come to consider this. That's why we come to consider this passage. Let me begin by explaining what this passage is about. The picture that is given to us here is a typical Palestinian valley or canyon. Okay, those of you who have studied geography, you will know that in the summertime, during the dry season, okay, you see a valley, you see a gorge perhaps, okay, and you see a little stream gently flowing down. And you look at it, very harmless. You know, some of us may even, in fact I've heard of this, okay, those of us who go to Templars Park perhaps, okay, there are warnings given out there. You look at the stream down there, it's very harmless, you know. Nice, gently, clear stream flowing down. And there's a sign down there that tells, you know, do not pitch your tent here. Do not camp here. The reason is this. During the dry season, there is not much water. And so therefore the stream just trickles by. Looks very nice, very harmless. You can sit by down there and everything is okay. And then you see this two persons. One begins to build a house next to this stream on the sand. The other person does the same, maybe perhaps just across on the other side of the stream. But he doesn't start building the house. This guy, he digs and he digs and he digs until he hits rock. Then he begins his structure. And by the time he has hit the rock and he has begins to put in that foundation, this person here already is three quarters of the way, and that nice, lovely mansion, everything is put up. And everybody is admiring it. He's sitting back and saying, I have done well. It looks beautiful. And so we have two persons doing the same thing, both of them building the same house. And there was that stream that is in the middle during the dry season. But what happens is that during the wet season, when there are rains coming down, you don't see much rain in this gorge down here. Maybe, yeah, you get heavy rains, but it's not the big deal. The big deal is really what happens in the mountains. That's when the wind from the sea blows, and then it carries with it moisture. It rushes up the slopes, and there the condensation takes place, and there is a big downpour up there in the hills, far away from where you are building your house. Up there, maybe miles away. You don't even see it. And there is that big outpouring of rain. And then all the streams begin to swell up. And they all come together in that big river. And then suddenly, when you are in your house down there beside that little stream, you see this rush of water that is coming. And you ask yourself, where did this come from? And it's too late. It's already upon you. And you are swept away. You may think this doesn't happen, but that's what happens in Templars Park. Many people actually have died along those streams when they camped overnight. That's why those signs are put there. Do not camp beside the stream. Because sometimes during the rainy season, in the night when it's raining in the hills, you don't see it because your place is pretty dry, but it's raining in the hills. And then when you're sleeping nicely, suddenly you see this rush of water that comes and it sweeps away your tent and everything with it. And so that's what happens. And that's the picture that is given to us here. The Lord Jesus says here, two houses are being built. They are built in the same area. They look very much alike as far as can be seen. And then both are subject to the same tests. Okay? The rain comes, the flood comes, and the wind comes. But there are differences between the two. The first difference is that one is built on sand. The other one is built on rock. And obviously, the time taken to build it will be longer for the one who is building it on rock. The one who starts immediately on the sand, he will have his structure up, and you will be able to see it very quickly and perhaps admire it. And then the result is that after the test is that the one that is built on rock stood firm, whereas the one that was built on sand fell, the Lord Jesus says, a great wall. And then the Lord Jesus gives us the verdict. He says the one who built it on the sand was the foolish builder. Stupid fella. Didn't think. Saw the sand down there, nice flat ground. Boom. He puts in the planks, he puts in the mortar, he puts in the bricks, and up goes the building. This person looks, he sees. Gentle stream, very sandy. Then he looks perhaps on the side down there. He sees, hey, there are water marks down there. I can see that on the side of the gorge. And the water marks go up way up high. Then he thinks, ah. Then he says, something here is hidden. And he knows what it is. He knows that in the wet season, the water will come up to this level. And so therefore, he digs, and he digs, and he digs, until he hits rock. Then he begins his structure. That person, the Lord Jesus says, is a wise builder. One more thing the Lord Jesus says is that both, he likens this building to people hearing the Lord's words. He says this here, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. He says the person who listens to his words, the person who follows him, the person who decides and makes a commitment and continues in it, that person is like a person who built his house on a rock. The Lord Jesus says, is a wise person. But the other person who hears, hearer, mind you, like all of us here, all of you are hearers, but who doesn't do them, that, the Lord Jesus says, is the foolish builder. All of you are hearers. All of you come to church. All of you listen to wonderful sermons. Question is this. You read your Bible as well. Do you do them? Do you follow its precepts? Do you make up your mind to follow it? Do you determine right now, right from the beginning, say to yourself, this is what I will do. Because if you do that, the Lord Jesus says, you are a wise builder. So therefore, that is the explanation given to us. What can we draw from here? There are a couple of points that I want to make before. The first thing is that life is a building. That's the structure. We are in some manner always building. Nothing you do or choose is inconsequential or unimportant. I have said just now, what you are is the result of all the decisions you have made, all the things you have done, all the things you have not done as well. That's what you are. Your station in life, where you are, how you are. All that is because of things that you have decided, things that you have done, and things which you have continued in it. So therefore, the Lord Jesus says, life is like a building. And every day, as you decide, every day as you listen, every day as you do something, as you begin to practice something, you are building that life of yours. You are building it. And whilst that's important, some of you may make the right decisions, go into the right course, you end up well. Some of you will have made good decisions, you work with the right company, you get the right promotions, you end up well. All that is wonderful, but all that is temporal. And that's not exactly what the Lord Jesus actually is relating to. He's talking about your eternal destiny. Everything that you do now, everything that you think, everything that you decide, will have an effect at the end of it. How you are building, where you are building, that is important. And that is where you have to take responsibility for it. So life is a building. It is a structure that you continue. And it's important to realize that. Secondly, I want us to see here, I put it down here. I think this one is a word from a song. I'm not sure whether I'm right. Okay. Into every life, some rain must fall. I'm talking about a storm here. People often complain that life is unfair to them. And they always say that some other people are more fortunate. When you're down there in the dumps, you're always saying, why is life doing this to me? Why do I deserve this? And I look at the other people, they're having nice things. They are doing, life for them seems so easy. They don't seem to be having any problems. And sometimes when you are really deep down there in the dumps, you really despair of it. And you say to yourself, life is so unfair. God is treating me so badly. Why? But let me tell you this. Every one of us goes to that stage. Every one of us will face those difficulties. That storm will come, those winds will blow. And every one of us, without fail, I say this, will face sometime in their life these kind of, and have children who are old enough. I have seen it, not only in myself, I've seen it in my family, I've seen it in my children. The struggles they have to go through, the decisions they have to make. And many times they feel at an end. And I've met many people who tell me the same thing. The difficulties they have gone through and how they have gone through those difficulties have shaped them and made them to be the kind of person they are now. And so therefore you will face those difficulties. Don't ever think to yourself that, why is life so unfair to me and God is treating me so badly? But everyone will have its share of troubles and everyone will have its share of difficulties. Some of us may be rich. Some of us may be poor. Some of us may have advantages. Some of us may have less advantages in life. Some of us have more security, others less. But nonetheless, all of us will go through difficulties. Do not think that people who are rich and staying in those big bungalows, they have no troubles. Right at the beginning, at the introduction of this series of talks, Pastor has already reminded us about that film star who jumped down from that building. How many of us looking at that film star performing on the TV or performing on live on stage think to yourself, why am I not like that? I wish I was in that position. You envy them when you see this, but you don't know what's going on inside the heart of that person. And then when you see the disaster fall, it's a great fall. And if you don't learn something from it, then you are a foolish person. Don't wait for it to happen to you. But learn as you begin to see these things. And so therefore life has all these things that, and we all face, and we all have our share of storms and share of difficulties. And the Bible tells us that we all have our lots in life. We all have our lot allotted to us. You are born in this family, you are born in this country, you are given that amount of intelligence, here this person is given this amount of talents, and all of us have different lots, and we ought to be content with it, and make do with it as much as we can, and do all of these things for the glory of God, and always having an eye at the end, our destination where we want to be. And life is a building. But one more thing we need to say here is this, about the storm. And that is that the storm shows up the quality of your life or the quality of your building. You're building your life. You are going to church. You are learning all these things. And every one of you looks the same. Everyone of you looks here contented, happy. You know, perhaps everyone of you go back, you will be happy. And even happier still, having made new friends. And when a person looks at you, you look at that person, he's so contented. Life is so easy. Life is so good for them. You see, when everything is easy, when there are no tests in life, it doesn't say anything about the quality of our life. Our quality of life is determined how well it stands up to those storms that hit us. The strongest people, the people who have the greatest stamina, the people who have arrived at great heights of achievement and of attainment, they are people who have gone through difficulties and they have ridden them and gone over them, and they therefore are able to handle greater things. And so therefore the quality of life is not determined by just simply looking at you, or simply looking at yourself, or looking at somebody else. It is determined by how well your life will stand up to those storms. But there is one more thing about this storm that I want to say. All of us, despite the different advantages that we have, or different disadvantages that we have, different handicaps that we have, we all face one particular storm. This is the greatest storm, and this storm levels everything. It doesn't matter if you are the richest person in the world, it doesn't matter whether you are the most famous, it does not matter whether you are a beggar on the road, it does not matter whether you are in deep poverty, it does not matter whether you are in the handicap or you are the most healthy person in the world. There is one storm all must face, and this storm will level everyone. It will put all of us on the same plane. That storm, my friends, is death. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, they be appointed once to die and then to face judgment. All of us without exception, will die and face that judgment. That is the greatest storm. And all the life that you have been building, all that you have been doing all your life, will have to face that storm. And if you have not been prepared, and if on that day when the Lord Jesus comes to judge, and He looks at you, and He says, "I don't know you," oh, it will be a great fall. It will be a great fall. It will be a great fall. And that is the storm you and I have to worry about. That is the storm all of us must prepare for. Because that storm will come. It will come. Very often when I have had some opportunities to preach at funerals. And this is the one thought I want to bring to people at that funeral. Here is that one person in the casket. And all of these healthy, strong people before me. And the one thought I want to get through to them is this. What you are seeing now is actually yourself very many years from now. It could be even tomorrow for that matter. But that is what you will be. One day you will be in that casket and somebody else will be standing here and looking at you. That is the great storm. When you go to funerals, what do you see? What do you learn from them? If you don't see yourself in that funeral, you don't see yourself in that casket, and think, you have not learned anything. You are not building anything. You are building on shallow sand. You have not begun to build on rock. To do that, you have to think now and prepare now for that day, for that storm that's going to come on all of us. We don't know when it's going to be. For some of us, it could be very much sooner. Perhaps in my case it was very much sooner. For some of you very much later. But who knows? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I have seen colleagues of mine, people of same age as me. I have been to their funerals. I've seen them in the casket. And I think to myself, this person and myself, we were just working together. Her age and my age are the same. We are no different. But he or she is there, and I am here. And so therefore, as you are given the time, as you are given the days on this earth, build, my friends, build. Build on rock. Because that storm will come. And your house will have to stand and weather that storm. Because if you have not done that, great will be that fall. Thirdly, the foundation determines the strength of the structure. Two foundations. One, the foundation is rock, and the other one is sand. You look at both houses. Both look wonderful. Both look similar. Both look perhaps, maybe one looks a little better than the other, but both looks pretty all right. They seem nice places to live in. comfortable places to live in. Anybody walking by would say, I would like to have a house like this. I would like to be able to stay in this house. Both houses, if they were there, well, the valuer perhaps will say, this house looks the same. They have the same facilities. And if I'm the valuer, I will say, oh, yeah, the price shouldn't differ very much. What you don't see and what really matters is the foundation that is at the bottom. You don't see that. And that is what matters. That is what determines the strength of that structure. What is hidden determines the durability of what is seen. You don't see it. But it is that is important. And the foundation that the Lord Jesus tells us, the rock that the Lord Jesus tells us, are His words. The Bible tells us elsewhere, I think in Matthew earlier on, the Lord Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. How many of us remember those verses? You have read them. How many of you think about those verses every day when you wake up? How many of you think about those words when you go for your breakfast or when you go for your lunch? How many of us really think to yourself, what is important is not food on the table. What is important is the Word of God inside of me, in my heart, and I am practicing it and I am walking in it and I am being faithful to it. How many of us think like that? You say you're a Christian. You come to church. You get baptized, you become a member. But do you think like that? Or are you one who worries about food on the table more than anything else? And I believe many of us are like that. When we are given two choices, this one has to do with affecting your economic status. And here is this commitment to the Lord that you have to give. And then this one says to you here, give me more. Give me more of your time. Give me more of this and give me more of that, because I will promise you all these things. And then on this side here, it says, give me your time. Give me your commitment. Give me your strength. But it doesn't promise you very much. It only promises very many days ahead of you. That is when the reward will be. And then you think to yourself, this one is immediate. This one, the results will come much later. Which will give out? Which will you follow? If you are the wise builder, you will say, I will forgo this. And I will stick to this. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a documented fact that many people, many students, after their university days, when they come back from overseas, they are very active out there in the overseas Christian unions and so on, and they have given their time and they have given their commitment, and everybody looking at them said, this is a fine, outstanding leader. If he goes back to his country, he is going to influence that country for the glory of God. I'm told that 9 out of 10 who return back to Malaysia, once they settle down in their jobs, once they give their commitment to their jobs, they forget everything. They find they have no time for church. Some of them never settle down in a church. Some of them forgo their Christianity altogether, and you don't even see their shadow in the halls of the churches. That's it. What decision have you made? These people never made that decision. These people thought, I'm a Christian. I'm okay. I believe in those words. I have them here in my head. But they have not built on rock. They have heard the words, but they have not begun to practice it. They have not begun to follow it. And so therefore, all the time they were building on sand. And so therefore, I don't want to disillusion you. I don't want you to be disillusioned. Whilst you are listening to me, while you are listening to and you are going to church and going for Bible studies and all that, I don't want you to be disillusioned. and think to yourself, I am good, I am all right. No, it is when the storm comes that determines whether you are all right or not. It is the words of Jesus that helps us to survive these storms. It is the words of Jesus. It is the word of God that helps us survive these storms. I read of many, I have not read very many, but I have read a few biographies that I have read about people who have been faithful to the Lord, the missionaries that have been faithful to the Lord, and the things they have gone through, the difficulties that they have faced. The difficulties that they have faced are unimaginable for me. I cannot think to myself, even in their place, and facing those difficulties. I'm told of one missionary that when he left his country, he told his in-laws, he told his in-laws-to-be, he says that, I am now leaving this country. I want to marry your daughter. Your daughter is going to be mine and share that life with me. And when I leave this country and go to that foreign country to be a missionary, I will never return. You will never see your daughter again. And you can be sure that your daughter will be going through terrible difficulties, unimaginable hardship. And sure enough, when they went overseas, they died in their country, and their children, some of them as well, have also died in those foreign countries. And as I read it, I ask myself, am I able, am I capable of this? If these things were to happen to me, will I be able to stand up to it? Will I be able to go on in service for the Lord and see these terrible hardship that my children will have to go through, and some of them maybe even die in those places, and yet not shout an angry word at God? I ask myself, can I face it? But you see, these people, when they are out there, these missionaries, when they are out there, what have they been doing? All their lives they have been preparing for this. All their lives they have been building on that rock. And so when those difficulties come, when they see disasters happen to their family, then their children die in their arms, yet they go on strong for the Lord. Yet they continue to plow on. Why? Because they are looking at that destiny that they have set for themselves. And they are not shaken. The storms come, but they ride through those storms. And I believe when that final storm comes, they have no difficulty with it. And it is the words of Jesus that these people have committed to that makes them able to ride those storms in life. Finally, very quickly, some characteristics of the foolish and wise builder. Firstly, let's consider the foolish builder. The foolish builder apparently is a person who is easily impressed and equally easily shaken. They look at something, they get attracted very fast, and they make a snap decision and they do something about it. But such people normally, very quickly, are also disillusioned. For him, what matters is that external thing, the external structure that I want to see quickly done. And usually a person like this doesn't have time for the Bible. He doesn't have time for self-examination. He doesn't think about his life in comparison to the Word of God because he has no time. He wants to get things done quickly. He wants that building up very quickly. He wants to establish himself very quickly. And he doesn't consider to himself what is important or what is unimportant. For him, it is the building and the structure that's important. He doesn't think of the foundation. And he wants to get on with it. And so a Christian like this is a person who tells himself, I want to get on with the work. He has no time for the Bible. He has no time for self-examination. He has no time to think about his own life and the building that he is making for his life. He is always in a hurry. He cannot wait. And above all, he's a person who does not think or plan. He's not like the wise builder who looks at the surroundings. It's not like the wise builder who examines the surrounding and then makes the decision. He sees the open ground, nice place, top, he gets to work and gets it done. And you think that's it. And some of us are like that too. We cannot wait to get things done. And some of us in the process begin to cut corners, take shortcuts in life. Like the person who refuses to study for his exam and then waits for the last minute to come, and then hopefully he makes a call to his Santa Claus and gets the examination papers and the answers as well. Cutting corners, shortcuts. Is it not true? Of course it doesn't happen to us. We don't take these kind of shortcuts. We are good Christians. But there are other shortcuts you take. And I think you know. Is it not? There are other shortcuts you take. Nobody is looking. Nobody is watching. There are no consequences. So therefore you take that shortcut and take that corner. Let me tell you, you have made a decision. You have done an action. You have done a little building of your life. But you have done a building of your life on that sand, not on the rock. So therefore, there are no shortcuts in life. And obviously, he's a person who is impressed and not bothered about the real state or quality of things. He is a person who does not differentiate between the price of a thing and the value of a thing. You all know the difference? You all know the price of a thing and the value of a thing? That the two things are not necessarily the same? Just because you pay more for it does not mean the thing is of better value. If I were to give you $100,000 today, what will you do with it? If I give it to this foolish builder, you know what he will do? He will buy for himself the biggest car that he can get and impress all his friends. I give it to the wise builder with $100,000 and he will think to himself, if I buy a car, the minute I take it out of the showroom, it depreciates 30%. Huh? And then he says, nah, car, no deal. And he thinks to himself, what will give me the increase if I put in the $100,000? Perhaps he will buy a house in a nice location and he will appreciate in value. That's the wise builder. He knows the value of a thing. And he knows the price of a thing as well. The foolish guy doesn't know. He only sees the price. He pays for it. He doesn't know that the minute he takes it out, he has already lost 30% of the value. You see the difference? The wise builder, very quickly, he considers before he builds. He thinks. And that's what I've been driving at yesterday and today. That Christianity is a thinking religion. You need to think, you need to decide, you need to measure, you need to evaluate. You need to make the right decision at the end of it. You need to study your Bible, you need to really know what it says. And you really need to commit yourself to it. Therefore, it takes time. It doesn't show. Because everything is in your heart. Everything is in your head. It doesn't show. So therefore, you may not be thought of as somebody who is cool. Or somebody who is happening. My daughter keeps telling me that word. Happening, that's the new word. You're not a happening person, she says. Many people like to be thought to be cool. Many people like to think that they are happening people. But the person who studies the Bible, the person who thinks, the person who you will say is a nerd, in the long run, because he thinks, because he evaluates, because he takes the time to study, because he takes the time to evaluate and measure, he comes out the better. Let me not give you the wrong impression. I'm not talking about studying your studies. I'm not talking about temporary life here on this earth. I'm talking about your eternal destiny, your eternal life that I'm talking about here. You need to think about these things. You need to take time to evaluate it before you go on. And of course, the foolish builder is the slow coach. This guy has the building up and he is still digging the foundation. But he's a wise person. He has measured, he has chosen the right place. He has taken his time, but it will last, and it will last. And so therefore, by and large, if you look at it, the wise builder is one person who is not a person who is easily impressed. Neither is he a person who is easily impressed by others or anything else. He's not a person who wants to be with the crowd so that he can be considered in together with them or part together with them. He's a person who is willing to stand out and be different. He's a person who says to himself, let everybody run ahead of me. I'm all right. Because I have measured the distance between this place here and the destination I want to go to. And I have made my plans, I have charted my course, and I know I will finish. I said yesterday, the Christian life is not a 100 meter sprint. It is a marathon. You want to run the marathon, you have to think tactics. You have to evaluate. You have to make that decision. When everybody else is going ahead of you, you must not be tempted to follow them and run together with them because you want to conserve your energy for the last lap. So therefore, you are a loner somewhere along the line. People may despise you. People may look down upon you. People will think you are queer, you are different. But no, because you are a wise builder, you know what you are doing. You know where you are heading. You know the trials and difficulties you will face. And you are now preparing for it. And you will know that storm will come. And on that day, you will be there, you will be standing, and you will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive your reward on that day. But you must make your decision now. Today, you must make that decision. So I ask of you, what kind of a builder are you? Are you a wise builder? Or are you a foolish builder? Are you prepared for the difficulties that are ahead of you? Or are you a person who just follow the crowd? Follow the world. The world is out there with all calling out to you and you are there listening to it and you are following it because all the promises are there. There are so many voices, all everyone calling out to you and everyone making those promises. But there is only one voice. There is only one word that will take you through. That is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us, enter the narrow gate. Go on the hard way. Because it leads to life. It leads to life. I leave that with you. Let us pray.